We also heard from some other folks, including Michelle Martin, who is the teacher down at the Prairie Creek School. And she said, we have spring break this week, so the no kid reporters. However, we have worms, dogwood and honeysuckle breaking bud, bloodroot just emerging from, and some squill is flowering. And tomorrow, she says, tomorrow's return to seasonable cold will put the brakes on. And then finally, this just in, my daughter Hazel saw some pulmonaria blooming. So there are some things to look forward to for us. I actually have bloodroot coming up right now. I had to rake away some of the dead plants that lay on top of it, but you can see about an inch of the emerging stalk coming up there in my yard. So if you have a patch of bloodroot that you know of, you might want to go out and rake away some of the crud on top and see if you can't pull out a new shoot or two to show you that, in fact, spring is definitely coming. I got this nice note from Ron and Jolene, and it says, John, we've been enjoying your weekly talks on phenology for a few months now and always look forward to Tuesday mornings. On last week's show, you mentioned that this is the time of year to be looking for trailing arbutus, and this brings up a question. I grew up on a dairy farm near Markville, Minnesota in Pine County. And as a child and young adult, we had lots of arbutus that grew on the edge of a 10-acre tamarack swamp on our property. This was a heavily wooded area that my dad used for cow pasture, very sandy soil. Today, my wife and I still own the place. The cattle have been gone since the mid-70s and when Dad retired. Unfortunately, so are the arbutus. Every year we search and poke around in the same spots where we used to find the flowers and no luck. Is it? I'll get through it. Is it? And we've searched for the flowers and no luck. Is it possible that the arbutus have disappeared for some reason? Could deer be the problem? Wondering if you have any ideas. And I replied to Ron and Jolene, as I'm about to tell you, that I had a similar experience where my neighbor ran cows along the edge of a fence line, and there was trailing arbutus growing in there. And then he stopped running cows in that pasture, and the grasses grew up, and the trailing arbutus was then, I don't know if it was shaded out, although that seems unlikely, but it stopped growing in that spot. I know that where I am back in the woods, if I don't fence off the trailing arbutus, the deer will come and eat it. And especially this time of year, because they're looking for green things to eat and nothing greener than trailing arbutus in the spring. I didn't have a real good answer for Ron and Jolene. Maybe there was some nutrients provided by the cows. Maybe it was the fact that the cows kept the encroaching grasses from shading it out. I don't know, but I do know that I had a similar experience where I lost a patch of trailing arbutus in the same fashion. So no answers there, but if somebody out there listening has a theory or a hypothesis, we'd love to hear it. And speaking of theories and hypotheses, I got this note from Dick, and he says, greetings, John. I've noticed the high number of black gray squirrels in our area. Also, I've seen some grays that appear to have white or cream-colored ears when viewed from behind. As a young squirrel hunter in the Minnesota River Valley, I saw one black squirrel, a trophy never collected, and never the light ear coloring. While living in squirrel hunter's heaven, the hardwood Allegheny Mountains of Virginia, I never saw one gray squirrel with black fur color or light ear coloring. Is the local population a gene pool subject or something else at work? Well, there's one for you. I never saw a black gray squirrel when I was a kid, when I was squirrel hunting back in my teens. And I just never saw one, anywhere. And I can't recall where I did see my first one, but they have really become a significant portion of the population. I would guess that they're at maybe 5%. They certainly are common nowadays. I see black gray squirrels just about everywhere I go. As to the light color hair on the backs of their ears, I never noticed. And I guess I just never paid much attention to it. So we'll have to pursue that. If you have ideas, if you are a geneticist or perhaps just a biologist or a botanist or a zoologist, whatever your credentials, we don't care. We're just anxious to find out if you have a good theory or a good hypothesis on why the prevalence of black gray squirrels in this area and why the local gray squirrel population seems to have these lighter colored ears. A couple of good questions there from our friend Dick, and I hope that we can come up with a suitable answer. If you have what you feel is a viable hypothesis, why, please send it along. You can reach us at comments@kaxe.org. You can send them to me personally, JLatimer@kaxe.org. I'd love to hear from you, and I'd love to talk to you about any of these things. It's always interesting to hear what others might feel is going on in the world. We are certainly, none of us, privy to the whole truth. That's our talkback show for this week. If you have comments or questions, observations you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you. So send them along. I read every email and try to respond to most.